listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
And we are back live at 2:38. We're talking with Becky Mitchell and Jim Flower from Agape House. Hi, Jamie. I know you're listening. Jamie Gehringer, of course, right? thank you, Jamie, for sending Becky and Jim in to talk to us today. First of all, Becky, I'll ask you first. Tell us what Agape House is all about.
Agape House of Prescott serves homeless families in crisis, and we provide the pathway to independence.
Mm-hmm. Jim, how about you? How'd you get involved in this?
Well, great question. Good afternoon, by the way. We started about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. This is the beginning of our 10th year. And if you remember, in 2010, a lot of the high schools around the nation were being shot up. So a group of us wanted to go to the high school and see what we could do to help the solution and protection. While at the high school, we found out that year, in 2010, there was 58 students that were labeled homeless. And I said, bogus. I live by the high school. I don't see any homeless students, but there are. And they're in shame. They're embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to make it through life. They're not the ones who stand on the corner with a cardboard sign saying, God bless, I need money. These are families that are struggling, and they're behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we call them stealth families, mm-hmm. that you don't even see them. But they are homeless.
Mm-hmm. Becky?
Currently, there are 110 homeless students in the Prescott Unified School District and the Humboldt Unified School District, and that just came from the fall of 2019. We're not able to help all 110, but there are some wonderful organizations in town that do help some of them, and we help significantly too.
You know, I like what Jim said. You don't often see the homeless. When I lived in San Diego, we had homeless people everywhere because of the weather, for one thing. You won't freeze to death, at least if you're homeless in San Diego. But the thing that caught me is that, no, a lot of them are invisible, and one of the reasons is that first of all, they can't find a place to sleep, and if they do sleep in public, they get harassed, or they get beaten, or they get jailed. Those are just a few of the problems facing the homeless, right?
Correct. Let me make one thing clear. We're not a shelter or a dormitory.
Right.
We actually give every family their own home, and mm-hmm. you know, that's costly, and it's very time-consuming with our volunteers, but we know that if they're not in a home, and a home where they can set up their own routines after school and weekend routines with the family, they're never going to start the healing. And once the healing is in place, then we start them on the pathway to independence. And that's what kind of makes the difference, that if you can train them in life skills, you can break the pattern of homelessness. And we have quite a few programs that will educate them and equip them to be self-efficient into the future.
Now, this is National Homelessness Awareness Month, right?
Correct.
And what kinds of things can the average listener do to help your cause?
It costs $10 a day to supply housing and a bed for one student. We literally have served most area public schools. The children in those schools have come to us seeking help, and it costs $10 a day. So we ask three things: that we pray, give, serve. And giving can be as little as $10 a month. They can give online at agapehouseprescott.org, like us on Facebook, or you can purchase a poinsettia during our poinsettia campaign.
Yeah, describe the poinsettia campaign.
Well, we started it several years ago around the holidays. If you remember, the poinsettia is the Star of Jerusalem. And we thought if we gave all of our current donors a poinsettia, they could take it home and have the joy of that flower in their home through the holidays. Well, one thing led to another, and we got so many requests that last year we gave out over 800 poinsettias, mm-hmm. or poinsettias, however you want to say it, pecan, pecan. So this year we have a very ambitious plan to give out poinsettias. And we don't ask money up front. We ask you to take it home and just see how much joy it can bring into your home. And then maybe make a donation and support us.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned before life skills. How much of the solution to homelessness that you encounter has to do with training people to become employed?
We call it the Pathway to Independence, and it's a four-phase program. The first phase is 30 days of stabilization. We ask all of our families to come in, unpack their bags, sleep in the bed, eat, sleep, and take your medicine. People are either over-medicated or under-medicated, overeating, under-eating. So we really try to get them stable first. The things that we have that our residents are grateful for is we had a mother give her children a bath in the bath time for the first time in 6 months.
And oh, my goodness.
She just started crying.
I guess, yeah.
A little boy said, I can't believe I have my own blanket. I can't believe I have my own bed, because he had been without for so long. Getting that stabilization is a huge deal. We had one little girl. She had literally been staying in a tent or a hotel room for 8 years. She never had had her own bedroom, her own bed, and we gave that. So first we say stabilization, and then the second phase is personal wellness. We want all of our residents to be internal, and that might be referred to West Yavapai Guidance Center, Spectrum. Mental health is really important to get that stable first. When our residents are debilitated with anxiety, fear, depression, anger, it falls into all areas of life. It's employment and family skills. So then after their personal wellness is taken care of, then we move on to life skills, cooking, cleaning, budgeting. So you've got a job, you've got to keep a job. You have a job now, you need to learn how to budget that money. Mm-hmm. And then there certainly is a difference between a minimum wage job and a livable wage job.
Yeah.
That's a significant difference. So we try to encourage our residents to not only get a job, but to keep a job. And that moves us into the sustainability stage. This is the last phase of our program. During this stage, childcare needs to be set up and continued. The children need to be in school and continued. Jobs and continuing having a job. A lot of people will get a job, but they'll lose a job. And then we also see in homeless families that children are uprooted so much from the schools and transferred to other schools. And that is very challenging for them in their reading ability. We've had several testimonies about families doing homework before they were before when they were homeless, and then after they were homeless. And I'll let Jim talk about that in just a minute. And then our final goal is independence. We want all of our families to be self-sufficient and independent.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, would you share about doing homework as a homeless person and then doing homework as a inside of a family unit?
Yeah, that is a good point. We recently had a family that graduated from our program, a mom with three teenage girls when they graduated from our program. But the youngest girl at the time was 12. And they had been living in different places, cars and campgrounds and people's garages. When they got their own home, a month after they had moved in, the 12-year-old daughter said to Agape House, "It's so much nicer to do my homework in my own bedroom instead of the back seat of the car." I cannot imagine living in a back seat of a car and then getting out and going to school. That seems to me like a target for bullying and making fun of.
Mm-hmm.
Those are one of the things that our families have to go through. We recently took a family that mom with four kids. She was living underneath a camper. Now, when I say underneath, I don't mean inside of a camper. I mean down underneath a camper shell. That's where she was raising her four kids. They now have a big, beautiful home that we take care of for them. And we talked to her this morning, and she's now applying to buy her own home that someone has stepped up and given her an incredible deal. So those testimonies are the results of what we see when we come alongside these homeless families. We give them the time to heal, the time to develop self-dignity, the time to develop hope, and get on the path to independence. It's mind-boggling to see the results.
And once you see results like that, I'm sure they have an attitude of gratitude. But how much of what they experienced while they were down that low do you think makes them tougher and more able to navigate life's bumps and bruises?
I'll answer that question. Thank you. We often will learn the best things in our life through our hardest times. And I tell you, we like to use the words tenacity, perseverance. Mm-hmm. A person who has been given everything, they don't necessarily have the hard work ethic. Somebody who had to work really hard to put that meal on the table, really hard to put clothes on their kids, that creates character. And that character will last you 60 or 80 years. So, you know, we pray for our families that don't come into the program or who are waiting to come in because it's during that brokenness that they are experiencing some turmoil. And that turmoil, it teaches them lessons in life. And it's certainly where I've learned my best lessons is when things were challenging.
Mm-hmm. Nobody learns anything by being told all the time how great you are, do they? I interviewed the comic Louis Anderson 2 weeks ago, and I asked him how he handles hecklers. He said, they're nothing, because I grew up in a family of 11 siblings. That's all they did every day was heckle me. and he also said, I asked him, how do you handle a show where all you heard was crickets and no applause? He says, that's when you learn, because nobody learns anything by being patted on the back, being told you're great. My goodness, what a life's lesson. So describe the vision you see for Agape House.
Oh, thank you. That's a great question. We have a super ambitious 2020. Our vision, no pun intended, our vision for 2020 is to have our own building. We have purchased it, and in 2020 we're going to be remodeling, freshening up, and making it a neighborhood for 9 families to live in the same community. We have right now we have 4 families, 2 in post care. So in 2020 we plan to have 15 families in our program. What does that take? Well, it takes a lot of volunteers. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of organization, and it takes a lot of funding to do that. We have, Becky always has a phrase, call to action. So I'm going to turn it over to her and let her talk about the call to action.
Please.
I'll give you our phone number. It's 928-910-1089. You may call today to donate, to volunteer, to serve. During this, we have 9 buildings we just purchased. If you or your church or your business would like to adopt one of these families, we are looking for 9 churches, 9 businesses to adopt our families. It takes 20 Arizona Charitable Tax Credit participants to support one family. That's a very easy way for people to get involved. When they're sitting down doing their taxes, they see the remaining line and they can write a check to Agape House of Prescott, and it does come back. Please see your tax advisor. I'm not giving tax advice on the radio.
However, on that note, since we are a community that skews a little older than the rest of the country, do you ever get people who remember you in their will? Wouldn't that be a great way?
That would be. That's something we want to pursue in the coming months. Also, there's something I really am proud to say, and unlike most nonprofits or organizations that are living on donations, we can actually say about 100% of our money that is given to us stays in the Prescott area. Mm-hmm. The only thing that we send out is our insurance, because we haven't been lucky to find a nonprofit insurance company locally. That's really the only thing that is sent out of our area. Every penny stays right here in the Prescott area. We serve the Quad City area, Chino Valley, Prescott, Humboldt, Dewey, and Prescott Valley. And we have families everywhere. As a matter of fact, if you drove anywhere today in town, you probably passed one of our homes because we have them all over.
Mm-hmm. Jim, I have to ask you a lighthearted question to complete the interview. Now, my name is DJ Phone. I work in radio. You can imagine the questions that come from that. What happens when you present someone with a poinsettia and you say your name is Jim Flower?
That's a funny joke. We get it all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's quite common. Yeah. It's quite common. Yeah. My nickname is Rosie or Tulip or Flower Pot, so it just comes with the territory.
There you go.
There's a lot worse names than that.
Yeah. You can buy a flower by calling 910-1089, and we will deliver it to your home or business this
And you know what? When I was in California, I worked in the funeral cemetery industry, mostly with pre-need. And I had a sales manager teach me, you're never going to get the sale unless you ask for it. Mm-hmm. So once again, how can people contact you if they want to donate?
Donate to Agape House of Prescott. You may donate online at agapehouseprescott.org or phone 928-910-1089. All donations will receive a poinsettia delivered to their home or office the first week of December. Thank you.
And don't forget the Arizona tax credit, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
$400 for singles, $800 for married couples.
Can't beat that, can you? Jim Flower, Becky Mitchell, and Jamie Gehringer. Thank you for joining us today on Q&A. Stay tuned. I'll have tomorrow's guests and some final thoughts on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and we stream live around the world at kqna.com.